To those of you who were inconvenienced this morning with locked doors where you were accustomed to coming into the facility, thank you for your patience. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt as we're on our way to yet another improvement here with our campus energy project. So the 21st century climate control for half of our facility, including our church, underway. You used to have the best secret parking spaces over here, didn't you? Close to the door. So sorry for the inconvenience this in the summertime. Jesus uses stories in the biblical literature called parables, short stories that use images and experiences from his own day to illustrate divine truths. He gives us what this story is about. We have two short ones today in Mark chapter 4. And the passage begins with, "This is what the kingdom of God is like." That the stories that are given to us today are designed to help us to understand God's kingdom, what it is like, how it works, what it means. That's the lens to understand or to interpret his stories. And they're seemingly so simple and straightforward that a seed is planted by a person and slowly and steadily and assuredly life is going to sprout from that seed. And the person who planted it doesn't know how, can't make it happen. Staring over it and just wishing it to grow isn't going to make it grow. Now there's a cooperation for sure that I have to respond obediently and generously to the prompting of the Spirit in my life to plant that seed, to allow God's kingdom to grow through me, and to grow around me. But the initiative for the growth isn't mine. And the ability to make it happen, it's not mine. It's God's. The second story. Similar agricultural motif. And this smallest of seeds brings forth this large plant. Not just a large plant in and of itself, but one whose very purpose is to bring forth other life within it. That from the smallest of virtuous intentions, from the smallest of virtuous actions, from the most meager moment of prayer, the kingdom of God can rush in and produce an abundance of life that's nothing short of astonishing. And notice again, this life that the kingdom of God, which again is the key to the story, this life that the kingdom of God brings forth, it isn't just life in and of itself, but it's directly for the benefit of others. That small, noble intention, that small, virtuous action, that most meager of prayer, it's not just for my benefit, but the Lord is counting on a moment of vulnerability in my own life and in our life as a community. Vulnerability to Him, humility to Him, supplication to Him, so that His kingdom can bring forth life that benefits others far beyond ourselves. As Jesus says, the birds of the sky make their place in this large plant. That God's counting on me in my smallness to help bring forth real and lasting benefit for others. In my smallness, there's no pizzazz to this, or show, or braggery, or impressiveness. It's humble supplication. In our Bible study yesterday, our men's Bible study on Saturday morning, 7:30 a.m., it's open to all men. Just come with an open heart, open mind. We take the gospel for the next day, for today. It was at this point yesterday that one of the men, I'm not sure if he was speaking to all of us or was more kind of speaking out loud, but it struck him and through him touched us. Boy, that sounds like the little flower. It's one of those great moments. Yeah, gosh, I wish I would have thought of that. But I didn't. Therese herself, she was small. She was small in stature. She was sickly in her own kind of physical disposition. She was quite temperamental and thin-skinned in her emotional disposition. She was spoiled as the youngest child and really unable to accept things when they didn't go her way as a child. And then she was insecure. She was insecure in learning about the saints and loving their stories and being inspired by them, but intimidated by them. She wanted to be the missionary, to be able to proclaim the gospel in far lands, but gosh, I could never do that. She wanted to be inspired to write the books about Jesus and his church that others would read and come to know and love and serve him. But I'm not that smart. She wanted to give bold and heroic witness to Christ and his church in the face of persecution and even martyrdom. But I'm not that heroic. She wanted to be able to pray hours on end. I'm not that holy. In fact, even after entering the convent, she so beautifully writes about her struggles with falling asleep at prayer with the sisters and getting annoyed with the cranky ones who were just difficult to be around. But she had moments repeatedly in her smallness of noble thoughts, virtuous actions, and faithful prayer. As imperfect as it was to her, it was sincere and genuine. And this tiny little French, sickly, insecure, intemperate girl becomes a source of inspiration for the world. She never sought to do that. You don't enter a convent to become famous. You enter a convent to disappear. It's the same moment in the Mass when the priest or the deacon pours the water into the wine in the chalice in the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer. And for a moment, those two substances are still separate. And then almost instantaneously, it's just blended into one substance and you don't even know there are two there. The Lord takes the smallest of genuine and sincere action on our part and allows his kingdom to grow in mighty and in surprising ways. It's doing little things with great love. That's what Therese taught us. That's at the heart of the stories of the parables from the gospel. And it's certainly within the possibilities for every single one of us to live.